The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now,
my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I'll call my shot. It's one of those shows that somebody at work is going to tell you, hey, did you listen to Doug and Wolf this morning? Because there is a ton of stuff that we have to get to. It's Doug and Wolf live in the Auction Community Studios, one day away from our appearance, even though you were there yesterday, at Cardinals training camp,
yes,
where we do the show live from the Dave Pasch broadcast booth.
Why do you do this? What is the Dave Pasch broadcast booth?
I just made that up.
You know, it's not bad. Il Bajaro, Basinonians, the bird, Dave Pasch. That's his nickname
No one says that.
No, I'm telling you right now, it is his nickname.
Does anybody ever call him that that's not named Ron Wolfley?
It's starting to catch on
a little
bit.
It is not starting to catch on.
Il Bajaro, Basinonians. Don't say Pajaro. Don't say that. Say Bajaro, the bird in Spanish, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Dave Pasch, of course, he was out there broadcasting, of course. Paul Calvisi saw Paulie. Where's Paul? Paul was out there, of course. He was talking. He's always talking. You watch Paul. He's one of these guys that likes to pollinate, likes to walk around. He's talking to everybody right there. I don't want to hear anybody say anything to me, please, while I'm watching practice. Because you know what I like to do? I like to sit there and look at the personnel group that is going on right now, right? I can't talk about the personnel group because the first 20 minutes of practice, they're really not in personnel groups. But I can tell you right now that the Cardinals out there in the first 20 minutes are an individual, and the level, the sound, if you just close your eyes and listen to the urgency that is out there right now in Camp Cliff, I will tell you, man, I was really, really jacked up about that because I think there's an urgency that needs to be brought to this team this year. And if that practice yesterday is any indication, hopefully it's going to continue to go that way. I was jacked up about that. That was one of my big takeaways. I got so many things to talk about. So little time, Douglas. But it was interesting to me that you called your shot this morning once again. Called your shot and said you're going to want to listen to today's show. I'm glad you're so confident in today's show.
I could easily see those of you that woke up this morning just thought there's probably, you know, not much there. And yet, I was in shock as I sat down. You know, I take the nap. You guys, if you've listened to the Doug and Wolf Show for some time, you know that. And I got up and immediately put on Olympic golf. Started watching Olympic golf. And then started reading everything there was about Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Then listened to the Aaron Rodgers press conference. Couldn't believe that.
Aaron.
Turned off Olympic golf. Watched the Diamondbacks. Impressed with the way Mad Bum looked for one of the rare times since he has signed here. And David Peralta hit his first home run this century. So that was pretty exciting.
Okay.
Then I saw the Sean Payton rip job. And I started laughing about that. Then I finally went to ArizonaSports.com, listened to the whole Robert Sarver interview with Burns and Gambo. A lot of thoughts on that. And at the end of the day, when I was done, I still couldn't understand one thing.
What?
How have the Jets not signed Zach Wilson yet?
It's Zach Wilson. What are you doing?
Your two backup quarterbacks have never taken a snap at an NFL game.
Nobody holds out anymore.
And you're missing this time with this kid over offset language, and because you don't want to give him the whole bonus you already have to give him anyway. That's what they're arguing over.
I just can't believe Zach Wilson is the guy that is holding their feet to the fire, metaphorically speaking. I honestly, the offset language once again, Zach Wilson. Okay, if that's what you want to do right here, Zach Wilson to me is going to be an interesting watch to see not only how he develops his rookie year, of course, but throughout his career as well, because there's a lot of doubters on Zach Wilson.
So there's a ton of stuff. We didn't really dive in super opinionated, other than Wolf saying that how impressed he was at practice from yesterday. So therefore, to kind of give you more opinion and to set it up and to kind of decide, here are the most important things on the docket that you've got to know about. That's Maloney's job.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Front Desk with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
The producer of the Doug and Wolf Show has decided these are the stories that you will feel like a failure if you get to work without knowing more about it.
So J.J. Watt missed practice yesterday with a hamstring issue.
Oh, here we go.
Watt added that he won't be practicing today either, and the team placed him on the active PUP list, joining pass rusher Dennis Gardett.
Okay, when J.J. Watt starts missing preseason games and padded practices, I say, I'll get concerned.
Yeah, how do you not have any feeling of, oh, here we go?
Please.
It's J.J. Watt. When
you get older, you pull a ham from time to time. Your groin tweaks a little bit.
The guy never gets hurt for about 7 or 8 years, and then he's hurt all the time. You can't help but go, uh-oh.
Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury looks to continue evolving offense in third year.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm sorry to be a jerk. Actions speak louder than words.
What do you mean? Go do it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to him because I'm not calling him a liar. It's just how many times have we heard you're going to make changes? And, okay, we'll see.
The evolution of the offense. The offense needs to evolve. Where is it evolving to? That's what I want to know, and that's the one thing I cannot wait. I've been talking about it all offseason. Cliff Kingsbury is a guy that is going to evolve this offense, blend the old and the new. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen, right? Of course. Next.
Right? Suns owner Robert Sarver says he doesn't know if Chris Paul will return next season, saying, quote, we'll see next week.
You know, that's the honest answer. That's the correct answer, because how can he tell the future? But I'm going to say, this is wrong to say, and I'm going to say it anyway because it's how I feel. I would like him to have said, I will do whatever it takes to get him re-signed.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that would have been nice right there. You know what's amazing about that? I felt so good about Chris Paul after the Chris Paul tweet. I felt so sure about Chris Paul until I heard Robert Sarver
talking
about
it. I felt the same way. I did. It wasn't
a
bad.
All of a sudden, it was a question as to whether Chris Paul was going to be signed.
It wasn't a bad interview. I just felt like, wait a minute, why? Let's talk about the tweet.
Yes, let's go back to Chris Paul and the tweet.
The 2021 NBA draft
here we go.
Coming up tonight at 5 o'clock as the Suns have the 29th pick.
Okay, you know what? I just want to celebrate the fact that the Suns have the 29th pick in the NBA. Just how awesome is that right here? You know what? If we get a guy who's a rotation player, if we get a guy who's actually going to be in the rotation on a regular basis next season, oh my goodness, what a great pick that is. If he gets his 8 minutes in or 10 minutes, what a great feeling that is, Basinonians. The Phoenix Suns are the bomb.
There's so many guys at the bottom of the draft that are still really good. I'm hoping for Sharif Cooper out of Auburn. I like a point guard in this draft and get some size and free agents.
Madison Bumgarner picked up his first win since May 11th as the Diamondbacks took down the Rangers.
Mad Bum looked really good.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, they need him to look good, continue to look good. It's not like the Texas Rangers line up and rake, though.
And I've been so frustrated with the Diamondbacks lately, but one thing they deserve a lot of credit for, the patience with Dalton Varsho. I mean, how many times in the last couple of years has this young man been brought up? And Dalton, if you're a big listener, I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. I appreciate your versatility, but I haven't seen it. It just seems like, when are we going to send you back down? And in the last month, he has been fantastic. Congratulations to him and the organization for their patience with him.
The D-backs traded starting infielder Eduardo Escobar to the Brewers yesterday in exchange for two prospects.
I'm not going to say it was a bad trade, but I was shocked that was it. The White Sox really wanted him, and maybe that they kind of controlled their desires and didn't offer a lot. They didn't get much. I don't want to act like Eduardo Escobar is he is an all-star, but I think we all know every team's represented.
Yes.
I don't want to act like he's a total game changer in a playoff race, but that shows you there's not a lot of demand for Diamondbacks players,
yeah,
in my
absolutely.
Opinion.
Absolutely. They didn't get an awful lot here for Eduardo Escobar because he's a rental. That's what it is. And it's not like he's raking.
The Arizona Coyotes have traded goaltender Darcy Kemper to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for a 2022 first-round pick, a 2024 conditional third-round pick, and defenseman Connor Timmins.
Bill Armstrong joined us this week, general manager of the Coyotes, and admitted his draft picks, he expects them to take them about 2 to 3 years
mm-hmm.
before you really see an impact from them. And that's kind of a wake-up call because now they have 7 picks in the first 2 rounds of the 2022 draft, which means go Yotes in 2025. This is a complete teardown.
This is all about Bill Armstrong right now. This is not about the trade. It's not about Darcy Kuemper. This is about Bill Armstrong and the fact that he is going to reimagine this team.
But if you accept a teardown, it seems like a fantastic trade. Now, you could argue whether you want one because it's a total teardown, but it seems like a fantastic trade within a teardown sense.
Have to draft well.
Coming up next, is bringing back Chris Paul priority number one for the Phoenix Suns? Well, the priority should be set by the owner, and he spoke yesterday. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
You have to understand with Chris Paul that he has a contract negotiation with the Suns.
Unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision, and he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract, and, you know, we'll know that in the next 3 days.
How high of a priority is it, the long-term futures of DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges?
Both important assets. Whether a deal gets done with them before this season starts or not, I don't really know.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The whole thing's at ArizonaSports.com. Interview, Robert Sarver yesterday, owner of the Phoenix Suns, with Burns and Gambo. And you can imagine a major portion was spent on Chris Paul and whether or not Robert Sarver knows what Chris Paul is thinking on whether or not to opt in and get paid $44 million. Opt out and re-sign with the Suns for less money this year, but a lot more money over time, or go somewhere else.
You know, I had some discussions with him after the season, and you know, I said, you know, you've only been a part of the organization for 9 months, so there's really not a lot of history here. But, you know, from a team perspective, it was my best season in 17 years, and it was your best season in 16 years.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot there to kind of keep the two of us together, the Suns and him. But, you know, he's got a decision to make and a business decision and a family decision, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision. And he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract. And, you know, we'll know that in the next, 3 days.
Well, you know, after the Chris Paul tweet, once again, I felt so confident. I felt really, really good that this was a done deal, a fait accompli. And just after listening to Robert Sarver and that cut right there, I wonder if that, in fact, is the case. That's all I'm saying.
I understand the business aspect here. This man's been in business a long time. I can't imagine how many basketball deals, how many business deals, how many bank loans, how many times he's been in a situation where he thought the pen was in the hand of the other guy and something got backed out or screwed up and then something didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I understand his hesitation, but I choose to focus on the Chris Paul tweet. If you didn't see it, he had pictures of his son's teammates and talked about getting back to work and we can't quit and things like that. And it got you fired up that why would he send that out if he wasn't planning on staying as a son? But when you hear Robert Sarver, it does temper the enthusiasm a little bit because no deal is done till it's done.
See, for me, Doug Lease, honestly, reading the Chris Paul tweet, I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is something that is done. This is something that, boy, that made me feel so sure. Chris Paul is coming back. They've already had these conversations with him back during the season, and he knows what's going to happen come August 1. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and I think that is still the case. I do. Yet, again, just listening to Robert Sarver right here, why wouldn't the answer have been, if in fact that is the case, that Chris Paul is going to be coming back, just saying, I think you guys are going to be really, really happy with the outcome of Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an easy thing to say right there, if in fact you're that confident Chris Paul's coming back. Now listen, I don't want to put anybody into a panic out there, because I think Robert Sarver was just taking the very conservative approach.
I do too.
And I think that's why he was speaking about this in the terms in which he was.
The man's smarter than me, so it's kind of wrong for me to critique his answer. But
smarter.
I admit, I wish he would have said, listen, this is totally Chris Paul's decision. But if it's up to me, whatever I need to do and can do to keep him, I'm going to do it. Now, other people would say that's a terrible thing to say, because you're opening yourself up in negotiations for his agent to play that for you over and over again, like it's a court case, and say, hey, you said you're going to do whatever you need to do. But I think Suns fans would have liked to hear it. Now, he did say,
I think that'd be accurate. Yeah.
Dave Burns asked him, is bringing back Chris Paul the number one priority of the Suns offseason?
I think that'd be accurate, yeah.
Okay. To call it the highest priority to make sure he's brought back? Okay.
Yeah, but then, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent, and we're in the same boat as everybody else.
Right. Of course. Of course.
So, you know.
Just stay at number one.
Of course he's the number one priority right now, right? To go out and bring Chris Paul back.
Well, one thing they didn't talk about in the interview, which, again, I didn't know about this until I read a Bobby Marks article, the ESPN NBA front office insider, that Devin Booker is eligible for a two-year extension, that because he hit benchmarks, and it's something that you're getting into rarefied air of players. And I would have gone to him first. I would have talked to him first and said, okay, D-Book, we want Chris Paul, but we want to make sure you're okay with us prioritizing Chris Paul number one, and there's never going to be a moment in your life where you say, we could have signed you to a two-year extension and we didn't. Because if you want this extension, we're going to give it to you. We want you as a son for life, but we don't know fully what we can do for Chris Paul if we do that first.
Yes.
What do you want? I think you'd get the answer you want, but you still made sure that you had that as what I would consider the number one priority. And then Burnsy asked him something really interesting. No, I think it was Gambo. Is there anything, of course, there's only two guys, so I'm going to get that right. Is there anything that would prevent you from bringing back CP3? And I went, and I want to go, no.
Yeah.
We'll do whatever it takes.
Right.
I didn't want that.
Maybe he wants the drama. Maybe that's he knows everyone's hanging on the edge right here. Maybe they want that kind of attention, right?
And again, I'm not trying to be unfair to the man, because of the fact he's smart enough to have seen
fine here.
So many deals fall apart. He's not going to stick his neck out in an interview and hamstring himself in order to not be able to get the deal done in a way that benefits the Suns as well. But
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but I think our first priority would be to try to get him back. But, you know, that'll depend on, you know, his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
See, that's the money cut right there. Can I just say that based on that is the cut that makes me feel the way that I do.
Okay.
That was the cut that made me feel like, what, really? Chris Paul, what are you tweeting that out for? Why are you tweeting that out? And then listen to that answer from Robert Sarver. Maybe that's what we ought to have, is some dramatic read from Minch. Maybe we'll get Minch to actually do a dramatic read of Chris Paul's tweet and then play Robert Sarver back to back. And maybe you'll get the feeling that I get this morning. Like, what's wrong here? Is there something going on?
Well,
is there something we don't know?
The front of the quote's got to make you feel bad. I mean, that's got to make you feel bad. But the back end of the quote, doesn't it sound like a man that knows something?
You know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
I mean, when you say that at the end, are you really going to throw that out there so nonchalant?
What did he say after the "eh"?
Well, then he just, it wasn't all that convincing.
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but.
I'm sure there probably is.
The question is there anything? Is there anything?
Yes.
That would prevent you.
Yes.
From bringing back CP3.
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is. But
just stop it right there. We all know Everything's fine. Chris Paul tweeted it out right there.
I'm going to try to hold the feet to the fire on the back end.
You know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
That sounds like a confident man that's kind of throwing out a tease and saying, hey, we'll find out. I don't think you're going to be so laissez-faire with a guy that took you from 30 wins to the NBA Finals. We'll find out next week.
By the way, don't ever say it was my best season in 17 years and it was your best season in 16.
That does not seem all that motivational to come running back.
I'm just saying. Okay.
I would let the spotlight shine on Chris Paul.
Yes.
I think that's a good way to go on
that. Yeah, there you go.
Text Pepsi to 620-620 right now for a chance to win custom Ketel Marte cleats, a copy of MLB The Show 2021, and an exclusive suite experience for you and your friends. That's Pepsi to 620-620. Coming up next, the Cardinals have been in training camp for a day, and already their biggest acquisition of the offseason is on the sideline. Uh-oh. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That's a great group. We got a good mix of experience and youth.
Let's be sharp. Let's finish strong.
You've got all the assets. You've got the talent on your football team. Time to produce.
Talent is great, but you have to be able to cultivate and build upon that.
We got the guys. We got the talent. We got the athletes. You know, that shouldn't be an issue.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Cardinals camp run test was Tuesday, Wednesday, a practice. We will be out there tomorrow, pretty exciting, for our first broadcast of many from Cards camp.
Here we go. Time to ball out.
Basically, if they practice in the morning and the practice is open, we're probably going to be there for the next couple weeks. For you, if you can't make it, we'll try to tell you what we can make it. There are a little bit of restrictions that we have, and you can imagine why. The Arizona Cardinals don't want us doing play-by-play of practice so the 49ers can listen. So there's rules about some things, but not about others, and we'll be able to talk about a lot of different things. And this is one of those times where I think a lot of people are going to draw a hard line in the sand on how you feel, and yet I don't feel like you're wrong either way. J.J. Watt hamstring pull pup list.
No.
Now, what I don't understand.
I know, and it's just honestly right now. Like, is this the best way to start a new chapter in your football life?
I would say no.
No. No, it's not, Basin Onions. Does this suck buttermilk? Because we all want to see J.J. Watt. Yes, it does. Is this what I wanted to see? No. But my brow remains smooth, Basin Onions. There is not even the slightest wrinkle in it. When he starts missing padded practices, that's going to get me a little... That'll get the ire up.
It's interesting you say that.
Missing padded practices.
Because J.J. Watt feels a little bit different about that, in meaning that he is worried about... Wait a minute. Week one. I care about week one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a great time this offseason with the guys in the OTAs and partially just getting to know everybody. I think that's a big part of coming into a new organization, getting to know your new teammates, learning their backgrounds, their histories, their families. Just trying to build that camaraderie and that rapport because, like I said in my first press conference here, you can't really lead guys if you don't know them and if you don't know what drives them, what motivates them. And so for me, it was great for that, but it was also great to get on the field, start building the chemistry, start getting the calls, start hearing how we call things and what Vance wants from us and get Zaven making the calls. And it was a really, really good offseason, so really enjoyed that.
I see, to me, you can't lead from the sidelines, and no. J.J. Watt knows that.
Yep.
And that's why I'm looking at things that J.J. Watt isn't looking at. J.J. Watt has zero to do with the 2020 NFL Arizona Cardinals season and outcome.
Yeah.
And yet, since we all know leadership was a major issue in last year's team, then, okay, here we go, first practice. And you can't tell me there aren't multiple front office executives in the NFL that saw that news yesterday and didn't say, yeah.
Yeah.
There's J.J. Watt.
Yep.
You know, so if you have that feeling of here we go again, I think it's wrong to tell any of those people that you're wrong for feeling that way. However, I totally accept anybody in the world that says veteran with a hamstring pull after a run test.
Yeah, sure.
Big deal.
Yeah, for me, once again, it's padded practices. It's padded practices. Padded practices are not normal practices, basically. They're not. You're playing the game of football when you have the pads on. When you've got the mouth guard in and you've got the pads on.
Even in 2021.
Even in 2021. When you go full gear, you're going full gear for a reason in 2021. And it's because you're going to play. Everyone knows what that means. Ding, 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 ding. Time to go here, ladies and gentlemen. When you put the full gear on, when a coach says we've got a full padded practice, everyone knows what that means. Time to play ball. Time to go. It's not that you could go out there in shorts and jerseys and a helmet and not play ball. Everyone goes out there and competes. There's no doubt about it. At about 75%. Nobody's playing to the ground with blood under their nails. Nobody's trying to make a football team when you're out there and you don't have the pads on. You're really not going to get the opportunity to do that. Yeah, you can show the coaches what you know. That's great. But you need to show the coaches what you can do. And the only way you can do that is when you got the gear on. Full gear. Here we go. It's one of the reasons why preseason games are going to be huge. The premium. You only have three. You don't have that fourth preseason game anymore. You only have three. We need to talk about that and the dynamic of three preseason games and how that changes a head coach's job. How do you prepare your team? How much do the starters really play when you only have three preseason games when ultimately it's still about the 53 and finding your best 53 and getting guys in practice the opportunity to go out in a game when it's 100% real and play to the ground. And get guys in silks out there playing and trying to make a team. That's so critical right here. Your point about J.J. Watt is spot on in regard to leading, though, Doug Lease. Leading. You can't lead from the side.
Especially in year one.
You have to. You can't. You can't say before you do.
I want him in front of Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons every single preseason snap.
Yes, once again. But for me, again, I want to be clear on this. I'm not going to get concerned until he misses padded practices.
You know, don't you think, though, there's got to be a coach out there, whether they're a Cardinals employee or not, that is saying, hamstring day one? Come on. Aren't you ready?
Well, you look at him, though, man. He looks like he's in great shape.
We say that. Okay, he's in great shape when he's lying on a bench press. But can you stretch your brother out here? Can you get the legs ready?
What's so interesting about that, though, Doug Lease, I have talked to people inside the building in regard to J.J. Watt, and his physical conditioning is off the charts. Cardio and physical in the weight room. So, to me, I look at that situation. It's not like he's out of shape, man. You could pull. I've been in training camps where I pulled hamstrings, groins, calves, you name it. Pulled it all.
Yeah, but we're talking about athletes.
And I'm talking about the fact that I've been in the best shape of my life and will pull a hamstring from time to time. And anybody that has done this will tell you it really doesn't matter how much you do it. It's going to happen from time to time. You're going to pull your hammy. You're going to pull your muscles. You see it all the time. So, you know what? I wouldn't be concerned about that at all. Now, when he starts missing those padded practices, why is that so important, Basinonians? Because it's the hardest part of training camp. When you're out there and you're playing the game and you're in full gear, everyone knows what that means. Like I said, it's go time. And when you're missing those difficult practices where you run at the end of those things, yeah, you know what? Honestly, hey, listen, before you start talking, do.
It is important to watch. I mean, you're talking about a guy that out of the last 5 years hasn't played over 9 games, 3 of those 5 years. So anytime.
But he's got a ton of field cred. He's
No.
When you start talking about field career.
Absolutely.
Oh,
he's a Hall of Famer.
He's got a ton of field cred going for him.
Yeah, he's
so
a Hall of Famer.
That's not going to be a concern.
I think it's fair for anybody's opinion to be, wait a minute, uh-oh. And it's fair for anybody's opinion to be, relax. He missed one practice after a run test.
Not only that, okay. The only concern you have is because it's a new team. That's it. New team. New locker room. New paradigm.
Text us right now your thoughts on hamstrings. to the FanDuel text line, 620-620. Got a text on the FanDuel text line that says, if you pull a muscle after a run test, your butt is not in shape.
Oh, my goodness. Stop it. That's just wrong. Your butt's not in shape because you pull a hamstring. Some of the most unbelievable in-shape dudes ever pull muscles. What is that? Oh, they're not in shape. Stop it. I mean, that's just, it's a fact.
Oh, it was a text that you're arguing goodness. To me. Coming up next, how satisfying was this past season for the Suns owner, Robert Sarver? You might be surprised at his answer. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You just tuned in. We were laughing earlier of moments during the Burns and Gambo interview with Suns owner Robert Sarver that made us feel a little uncomfortable because we were hoping for definitive statements about Chris Paul. And when he was, you know, hey, you know, we'll see. The ball, you know, it's up to him. And, you know, you never know how things like this are going to work out. But you talk about being definitive. He was unbelievably definitive when Burnsy was talking to him about ever moving on. Will you ever be okay with the finals loss, even if you win a championship down the road?
No, that'll never come to pass.
I mean, that...
Say that again, Phil Gleason. I was too busy.
I knew that we lost you. It was... There was no... on this one. It was, will you ever be okay with the NBA Finals loss? Even if you win one down the road, will you ever be okay with what just happened? And he interrupted Burnsy and just jumped right in.
No, that'll never come to pass.
And that's tough, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just, you know, we won 14 games and we needed to win 16. So, you know, as I said, there's so much I can be proud of and excited about. You know, our employees, our marketing partners, our players, our coaching, and, you know, everybody, you know, did just an outstanding job. And, you know, as I said, at the same time, there's a lot of pride in the success that they had. And it made the experience really fun. And there was a lot of very high moments. But, you know, when you get that far and you can't win that last game, it is something that probably will never go away.
I love that answer.
I do too.
I think he's right on. He's spot on in regard to that right there. It's never going to go away. You never know when you're going to get that opportunity again. I think it is so myopic for anybody to sit here and say, hey, you know what? If they bring Chris Paul back and we bring everybody back, you know what? Hey, listen, the Suns are going to be back in the finals next year, man. I'll tell you what, you make that assumption at your own risk. Because I'm not going to do it. I know how difficult that is. First of all, just injury. From the injury perspective, do injuries happen in the NBA, Douglas, from time to time?
Yes.
Yes, they do. Of course they do. So just from that perspective, the injury perspective, you never know. Look how many guys actually missed playoff games this postseason in the NBA. There were a ton of guys. I'm talking about the best of the best. LeBron James was talking about it ad nauseum for the most part. It's so true. So you never know when everybody is going to be healthy again and when you're going to be playing at the level the Phoenix Suns were playing at.
Well, remember, Cardinals fans know all about it. They go 13-3. You get all or nothing. And then going into 2016, the motto was win just one more game. Because you're 13-3, win one more game. The thought was you get home field advantage. They go 7-8-1.
7-8-1. There it is right there. I mean, honestly, you never know from that perspective.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Wow. Okay, Maloney.
So, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the Cardinals are now among the teams at 90%+ vaccinated. In fact, the number of unvaccinated players can be counted on only one hand.
Wow. How about that right there?
I immediately
okay.
Think of the question, is on one of my hands DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes.
I mean, he's the one that brought up the issue. But the reason why you as a fan base should really care about that number is it opens up the ability of the team to run things in such a way that puts them on a level playing field with everybody else. This makes your season, despite the fact we are not even remotely out of this pandemic. Don't let your guard down. Please get vaccinated if you haven't already. I truly believe in the vaccine. I want to say it in a way that I respect you, and it's none of my business on the one hand whether you do it. That's your business. But I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm not sure about the long-term effects. Well, the short-term effects are I have an aunt and a friend that are dead. So that's the short-term effect. I'd rather you not have the short-term effect while you're waiting to see what the long-term effect is. But in relationship to just football.
I don't think you can even put logic on that one, Douglas. Yeah. I don't think you can. I think, listen, it's your personal right to make that decision.
And I hope I address that as I'm giving you my opinion.
Sure.
But just in a football sense of the vaccine, this changes how you are able to handle team meetings, how you're able to go about your business, and the protocols of when players test positive. That means out of the 90 guys on the roster, only 3 or 4 are out guaranteed for more than a week if they test positive.
Mm.
That is such a game changer. So as a fan base, I think it's fair to applaud the Cardinals players and say, great job. They did put football first. They didn't have to, but in my opinion, they did.
I got to tell you, that is a stunning increase right there for a team that was hovering around 50% a week ago. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The report that came out, it was hovering around 50% for the Arizona Cardinals. Now you're telling me it's over 90? That's pretty impressive right there. Listen, Tuesday morning, Basin?
I think it was Tuesday.
That was, 48 hours ago,
yeah,
Douglas.
Yeah.
As of Tuesday morning, 85% of players were vaccinated in
across
the National
the
Football League.
Oh, wow.
85% of players. There were 14 clubs, almost half the league, that had 90% or more vaccinated. So almost half the league. Now, the Arizona Cardinals apparently have moved into that category as well. And it's not a surprise, really, when I stop and think about it, Basin Onions. It's not. It's not a surprise right now because training camps are kicking off in earnest. When the veterans come in, they're kicking off. And to me, that's probably the best time to get the vaccination. If you're waiting because you're not sure about the vaccination, you're going to wait as long as you possibly can before you got to get it. Correct? Now, all of a sudden, you've got a lot of guys that are probably looking at their careers and they're saying, you know what? Somebody could replace me easily. Somebody in this league could replace me. I'm not talking about the DeAndre Hopkins of the world. I'm talking about the Ron Wolfleys of the world. Mm-hmm. Somebody could replace me easily. Give me the vax, please.
I mean, if you are not an extreme upper level player.
Yes.
I'm sure they're not going to ever say it publicly, although the Bills general manager did in the offseason. But if you look at the protocols and you look at how damaging the coronavirus can be to your opportunities to win, and you're choosing between a vaccinated player and an unvaccinated player near the end of the roster, guess what? I mean, it's whether it's fair or not, whether you think this is acceptable policy or not, it's going to be a no-brainer for that general manager to say, I'm taking the vaccinated guy.
There's no doubt about it.
And whether they talk about that a lot or not, it's kind of a no-brainer. So, Maloney, that was a really good update. And congratulations for the Cardinals to be able to hit that. Before we get there's a lot more hardcore news about training camp. Wolf's got a lot. He was there yesterday. Before we get to that, can I play something for you that I just consider one of the most shockingly honest assessments I've ever heard about something, and it's really important and strange. Rory McIlroy's at the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
not really playing all that well, and it's the way the Olympic games work. It's kind of strange. You play golf for 3 days, but there's no cut. Okay, so there's no cut. So you play all 3 days, and then the tournament's over. And Rory is there, but if you don't know the background in your history, the Northern Ireland, United Kingdom, Ireland battle is right fresh in his heart because he's from Northern Ireland. He represents Ireland. Ireland helped him with most of his golf game. But at the same time, he's always said, I feel like I'm more British in the sense of Great Britain than necessarily Irish because of the way he was raised. And with that going on, he said this about the Olympics.
I'm not a very patriotic guy. I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do. And I think, you know, I missed it last time. And, you know, for golf to be an Olympic sport, you need your best players there. And I feel like I want to represent the game of golf more than anything else.
Wow, the game of golf.
He said, I'm representing golf more than my country. And you know, and so many other times you say that's a terrible thing to say, and yet, boy, I think it's great. I mean, he just, there's so much conflict. He doesn't feel totally drawn to his country. He was afraid he's going to upset so many people, no matter who he chose to represent, whether it be the UK or Ireland. And yet he says, he didn't say, I don't want to be here, but you could tell it's more of, I owe it to the game.
I think.
And we can't get the game to grow without people like me going. But personally, it doesn't sound like he really wants to be there, but he felt a calling to go.
I was fascinated by that. I would imagine in Great Britain this morning, based on innings, there's a lot of upset people. I'm just guessing honestly.
I can understand that, yet I really support Rory saying that. I just thought that
I support him saying that. Listen, I support individual freedom.
Well, I understand that.
Of course.
I just mean that.
Say what you want.
Gosh, was that interesting to say that. I mean, I'm here for the game, and I want the game to grow, even though I don't really want to be here. Thought that was really cool. Coming up next, Cardinals training camp, full swing. And Wolf was there at practice yesterday, and he felt himself drawn to two guys. And not in a Beanie Wells kind of way.
Three.
I don't even know who the third one is. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.